We have background music. We're standing in the auditorium. Everybody's packing up, getting ready for the next session. The participants are out grabbing coffee, and I'm stood with...
Amy DeMarco. Hi there.
What's your job title?
Well, that's an interesting question. My job title, created for me by Herb, was actually robot surgeon. My genuine job title is twofold. I'm a registrar in general surgery in the NHS in Northwest London, and I'm a PhD student working with Imperial College with the Hamlin Centre for Robotic Surgery. Bit of a mouthful.
Definitely. The slides, definitely the most graphic, and I know people keep going to keep saying most graphic because we are so used to kind of lots of words, mm-hmm. quite corporate. Mm-hmm. I was inside people's bowels. I was going up through people's private parts, viewing the insides of people while robots were working on them, and my mind was ever so quietly blown. This is still not normal, though, is it?
It's not. It's standard, as I say, keyhole surgery is our new gold standard and what most patients would expect if they were having a major abdominal procedure or even a more minor one such as removal of their gallbladder. So that is our kind of, that's our gold standard, multiple incisions for keyhole surgery. But minimizing that minimally invasive surgery, reducing it to single incision surgery or scarless, that's note surgery, and then the utilization of robots is definitely not standard practice at the moment.
Would it be if the patents for a very amazing machine, which you showed was being used mm-hmm. 10 years ago,
mm-hmm. yep.
Where a doctor could perform an operation, a surgeon could perform an operation, thousands of miles away from the patient?
Yeah. It's an interesting question. So the patents we were discussing were those from Computer Motion. You had a robot called the Zeus robot, which was used to perform Operation Lindbergh, so named after the first person to fly across the Atlantic. So surgeon located in the States, patient in France, operation undertaken with the Zeus robot. And those patents were bought by Intuitive Surgical, who created the incredible Da Vinci robot. Now, their work and their robot and their impact, I suppose, on the surgical community and the medical community has been immense. So Intuitive Surgical, although they're a huge commercial influence, have undoubtedly done a lot of good for a lot of patients, again, mostly having major abdominal operations. In terms of patent laws, well, as somebody who works in an academic institution, you've got to say you support that because they protect the designs that our engineers come up with, and for that reason, hugely important, obviously.
There's definitely moral questions, though, in a way, when we see how much money is involved in saving life. You took us on quite an amazing journey, 5,000 years, 7,000 years in the making.
Yeah, 10,000 before the Common Era is where I started out.
Starting with the trepanning, which may have been some of the first operations.
Yeah, absolutely. So we started back there in Neolithic times, where we've got evidence that people were drilling into skulls, obviously from archaeological excavations, which revealed skulls with holes in, where people were boring through to try and release increased pressure within the brain, we think. I mean, we still do not dissimilar procedures today neurosurgicals might do to evacuate blood that's collected between the brain and the bone. So they were innovators in their own way 10,000 years ago.
Yet many thousands of years ago, in Chinese medicine, for example, the doctors were paid for every well person in the village. And if somebody fell ill, you would lose money. So preventative was really all there was. And yet one of your final slides was showing us how nanotechnology will potentially bring this full circle so that we will be preventing rather than reacting.
Yeah, absolutely. Prevention, as the old maxim goes, is definitely better than cure. And if one can avoid having an operation altogether, we'd all wish to do so. One other thing I guess I should have pointed out is in terms of that remuneration of the Chinese doctors in villages, kind of being fined, if you like, or not remunerated if their patients didn't remain healthy, is another point that I would have liked to bring up. Most of the innovation that I was showing was relatively on the expensive side. Intuitive Surgical System is obviously expensive. Even our robot, designed to be much cheaper than theirs, is still going to cost something. But there's a really important point there that actually innovation can save vast amounts of money. And I think at a time when the NHS is really pushed for funding, we have to push forward the idea that innovation can save us money, and innovation not just in terms of technology but processes and the way we think. can do a lot for our society.
But the advancements when it comes to nanotechnology is not going to come too quick, is it? We're still going to get the enjoyment of these funky little robots that we can some, you know, maybe even swallow.
Absolutely. And my personal feeling, although I'd kind of presented them as two polar opposites, surgery versus nanoparticles, my personal feeling is that in all likelihood, we'll arrive at a situation where both of those technologies are utilised. You know, nanoparticles have got to be delivered somehow to their eventual end point. That may be a little robot that crawls through your mouth, pops out through the stomach, walks around, shoots them into your prostate gland, your bowels, wherever they need to go. So I don't think all of our technology will have been in vain. As I hope I showed, we've been on this very kind of long journey, and robotics is part of that. Undoubtedly, aspects of it will be carried forward to whatever future medical treatment holds.
Fantastic. Where can people go online to find out more about this kind of work?
So the Hamlin Centre for Robotic Surgery has its own website. If you Google Hamlin Centre, we've got many of our videos uploaded there, and we've also got a site on YouTube. If you pop Hamlin Centre into the browser on YouTube, you'll get a lot of our videos showing the iSnake robot in action and the other aspects of imaging, visualisation and simulation that we've been doing as well.
Thank you very much, and I'm also once again in awe of the eclectic curation of a conference like Thinking Digital. Are you enjoying your time so far?
Enjoying it so much more than I'd ever imagined.
Because normally, I guess, you'd be speaking to a room full of medical professionals.
Yeah, who all groan in agony at the rehashing of ideas that they've seen previously, and actually who are all doing very, very similar things. I mean, I presented our snake robot. There are many other snake robots.
What's it called? I thought you said Arse Snake, which would be an unfortunate name.
That would have been most unfortunate. Our iSnake robot, that's better, isn't it?
That's better.
Is one of many snake robots out there. So there are many people doing similar work, and hence, ordinarily, either at a medical or an innovation conference, have less enjoyment of meeting people from very, very different aspects of life who've walked different paths. And I've really enjoyed that here. It's been fantastic to be inspired and have my mindset changed to an extent by people from the arts, from music, and from so many different places. It's been brilliant. Really enjoyed it.
There's so much commonality.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you.